Well, it's an irony, isn't it, that while we've all been cooped up indoors, this year has seen one of the warmest and sunniest springs on record. So, for people who are lucky enough to have a garden, this has been a real boon. Let's Talk gardening expert Charlotte Philcox has learned to love her lockdown by spending extra time in her garden. Here's Jane to explain what Charlotte has been doing out there.
In these times of lockdown, I realise how lucky I am to have a garden. As the restrictions took hold, I became a frenzied version of a mole, digging and scratching away at every available piece of potentially fertile ground. And my garden keeps me sane and thankful for the work I managed to do during the previous years. And because of that, I'm able to harvest leeks, parsnips, spinach, beet, kale and purple sprouting broccoli. In forager mode, I seek out the new growth of nettles, wild garlic and ground elder, where they grow in controlled profusion at the foot of a hedge. With the addition of a potato, butter and good stock, they make a delicious soup. Later, I'm ecstatic to discover a mass of winter purslane, chives and parsley, which have self-sown beneath the chicken wire, poles, containers and other, one day this will be useful, garden junk stored in a small polytunnel. And now that one day has arrived and nothing is wasted, and I'm proud to say that as I clear the space and coax the tunnel back into productivity. And I find a use for every last stake and off-cut of wire too. I had planned on leaving this garden to move somewhere else, but all that went by the board as soon as it became clear that COVID-19 was something serious. Consequently, as the lockdown unfolds, it becomes clear just how much of my plot has been neglected. But with the luxury of so much free time, it doesn't take much to restore its fertility and maintain my sanity. As I take down the redundant for sale sign and stash it behind the dustbins, growing food suddenly seems like a necessity rather than a hobby. And others are thinking the same way. And my friends and I share our gardening endeavours, emailing photos of our food babies starting their lives on windowsills or in greenhouses and in hastily repurposed conservatories. Tomato, chilli, cucumber and courgette plants are swapped at a safe distance, and I offer gardening advice freely to anyone who wants it. It's the least I can do. Each day, thanks to the good weather, I'm able to spend hours outdoors. Early mornings are spent walking with the dog, and once I realise that not everyone seems to understand the concept of social distancing, I go to places as far from other people as I can get. I pound my way around the lanes and through a local wood, aching legs on automatic. It's my way of coping. Remorseless strides erasing for a while the fear and confusion which I, along with everyone else, am feeling. But gradually, as the unprecedented and bewildering situation becomes more normal, my walks slow down. I start to look around me again, absorbing every last detail of my surroundings. As someone who loves nature, I can often be found lurking by a meadow or a hedgerow, looking at oak trees, listening to birdsong, and watching for wildlife. Now, sensitised by the need to squeeze every last drop of enjoyment from my single daily walks, I begin to notice how, in the few patches of land relatively unspoiled by human activity, everything seems to have found its rightful place. In the woods, primroses thrive in the sunshine of a clearing, protected by the slow decay of a long fallen tree. A narrow shaded path which winds through a froth of wood sage is fringed with the white flowers of wood sorrel and wild violets. Tiny ferns and mosses grow from old stumps, and in the distance, amid an agricultural desert, bluebells are defiant as they smother a tree-clad hilltop too steep for modern-day machinery. I've always tried to see nature as an ally rather than a foe, and now, more than ever, I notice that how, when it's left to its own devices, it is constantly at work in my garden too. I watch as beyond a haze of flowering sweet Sicily at the base of a greengage tree, primroses and cowslips self-seed with abandon, just like the ones I admire in the woods. They claim the warmest, sunniest spots. Stitchwort smothers a bank sheltered beneath the emerging stems of Rosa rugosa, while pale blue forget-me-nots grow among the flowers of a showy black-flowered knapweed, white alliums, the bright cerise of hardy geraniums, and golden dandelions. They're all beautiful. A blackbird pursues the long grass of a path where ox-eye daisies and foxgloves wait to burst into bloom. Everything seems to be finding its own place, making the need for intervention minimal, as all I need to do is encourage the plants I like and keep any over-enthusiastic thugs at bay. In a strange way, I'm benefiting from the lockdown, relishing the opportunity to spend so much time in my garden. I work more intuitively, constantly amazed at how my plants seem to know what to do. Ultimately, despite whatever else may be going on around them, like me, they will always end up in the places they like best.
Thank you, Jane.